Hello, everyone. Today we'll talk about the topic which is very exciting for me, and it is MySQL performance on modern CPUs, Intel, ARM, and AMD. And this is the topic where it pays of being kind of old, because I remember being involved with those CPUs for now more than two decades. I remember in my early days when I was a teenager, we had the CPUs numbered, not names. And in 486 days, AMD was quite a big deal, and they're kicking Intel butt in many cases. But this is before I started to be involved in the databases in more professional level. And I think before that was very meaningful for history of MySQL. What is relevant for MySQL, I think, starts with Intel Pentium Pro. And at that time, that is, I think, their Intel was really establishing a lot of dominance in the server CPU space, and really AMD was not really much to be found around. Intel, though, it looks like follow exactly the innovator's dilemma trajectory, and really tried to serve some of their biggest customers and focused on going up the market with introduction of Intel Itanium in 2001. That was Intel bet on 64-bit CPUs, Intel Pentium, Intel Pentium Pro, were all 32-bit CPUs. And this was really revolutionary CPUs with completely different architecture approach, their instruction set, and so on and so forth. And it could not really run the old applications very well. And it was really only designed for some very large and powerful servers. And with that, Intel kind of made a bet, sort of abandoning more smaller and scrappy companies and customers, and leaving them without good 64-bit CPU. And that is where AMD came about. I think it is very interesting what it is AMD, which is the company which designed 64-bit extensions for our traditional x86 instruction set, and introduced that in AMD Opteron and related CPUs. And wow, that was quite a success. I remember that was at the time, maybe a few years later, when we were looking at the professional use of Linux and MySQL, and really breaking off the boundaries of 32-bit address space was completely life-changing for such as a memory-hungry applications such as databases. And that also performed quite well. Well, especially performed quite well compared to what Intel had at that time. What Intel did in the in those years is after the Pentium Pro, which was called and you know Pentium 2, which was called P6 architecture, they introduced the architecture which was called NetBurst, and that architecture, it allowed to get very high clock rate for CPUs, right, which was like, wow, that is very high clock rate. And that is what a lot of consumers thought about system performance from marketing standpoint. But that didn't really work very well. It really had much worse performance per clock cycle, and especially for applications such as a database workloads. That really played well for Opteron and AMD CPUs. And in those days, AMD was really working much better. It was not until 2006, and then Intel introduced the Core CPUs, then they could really get a lead in benchmarks. I think this is a very interesting benchmark, which folks in Arantek did in 2006, then their Woodcrest, which is a core-based CPU, was introduced. And you can see at those graphs, it really has much better performance, right? The double performance compared to the Irindale, even if the Inverdale, this kind of NetBurst-based CPU, is at the higher frequency. And you can also see here what they'll have, the AMD CPUs, kind of green lines, they are somewhere in between, right? Where Intel was quite a laggard. It was become a very good CPU at the time with core releases. What is also very interesting in this benchmark is this Sun T1, like, or Niagara, the CPU core, and you can see how, at least for MySQL workloads, that was absolutely horrible CPU, having absolutely abysmal single thread performance, and even at a very high concurrency scoring lowest. I remember that as something which Sun tried to market as a CPU for MySQL workloads, and that was, oh my gosh, I think one of the worst cases, trying to pick their square peg in a round hole, which I've seen. Here are some of the benchmarks which we have done in 2011 between that generation of Intel and Opteron. And you can see what Intel and Opteron, they have quite similar peak performance, but then Intel degrades worse at the high concurrency, which makes it for a better performance overall. Now, I would point out something. When you are measuring any software performance on a given CPU, it is not just about that CPU. It can be also about software, which can be optimized for one or another CPU architecture. It also could be your development stacks. For example, Intel for years invested a lot in making sure compilers optimize stuff for Intel CPUs very well. So in generally, so you can see software even now optimized more for Intel CPUs, of course. Here is some interesting data which corresponds to that that times I mentioned. You can see what at the time what Opteron was released, and Intel was dealing with that horrible CPU architecture of NetBurst. Its market share was dropping. It still was dominant, right? You can see from this graph what there is a lot of inertia in the market, especially enterprise server market space, right? But it was losing the market until their core CPUs were released, and Intel started to get market share. And if you were looking at middle of the last decade, where this graph kind of terminates, You would think what it's all over and AMD is dead and Intel has complete dominance. But that is not how really things have played out. We can see what with AMD really have a very small market share in the server market. There have been for all those years AMD based inexpensive laptops or this desktop CPUs, but it had a very small market or a small presence on the server market share. We can see things have been changing in the last year or a couple of years. What is really the driving factor here? Well, the driving factor is what the AMD have introduced a completely new micro architecture called Zen in 2017. And this architecture was also branded as EPYC for their server brand CPUs, like kind of similar to Xeon is presentation of Intel Core architecture, and EPYC is how Zen architecture is implemented on server marketplace. And you could see what in those Zen architecture, it was actually first time in years there it could really beat raw performance of some of the best Intel CPUs available at that point in time. And it was also priced substantially cheaper. At that time, though, it did not quite play out the same way for MySQL. You can see what the MySQL performance, unlike the Java, was still substantially lower for that first generation EPYC CPUs compared to dual Xeons. And some CPU architecture purists would be right to notice what that is not AMD fault, that is MySQL fault. In a lot of cases, the MySQL synchronization primitives and have been finely tuned for behavior of Intel. And because of that, it does not have as good performance on AMD and especially on ARM CPUs. That is the optimization work which is ongoing, but the situation at MySQL in 2017 was this, right? And if you are a consumer who needs to run databases, you frankly typically don't care. That may be your operating system, that may be database, that may be hardware. It really does not matter because all you need is to get the best performance out of your database, right? And meanwhile, while they had this battle of the giants ongoing, there have been some other CPUs lurking in the shadows. One set of CPUs is power CPUs. And this is kind of very interesting because every so many years on of the last decade or so, you can see some kind of good benchmarks and some announcements coming up and saying, oh, PowerPC CPUs are coming and they are like much better, faster, cheaper. But there is no really good ecosystem support. I know some people who run Linux, MySQL, and whatever on Power. And they're quite happy. They believe that they're getting very good outcomes on that. But this is kind of exotic still. So far, it never quite reached their maturity market acceptance. But another CPU did. ARM CPUs, right? If you think about the story of ARM CPUs, it's kind of interesting because that follows the same sort of innovator's dilemma, but more of a disruptor game. 4 years, ARM CPUs were CPUs which we would see in the mobile devices, cell phones, tablets, Internet of Things devices. They're not very high performance, but what ARM was really focusing on is having a very good power efficiency. And also it has a different licensing model where people would license their design from ARM and they could produce their customized silicon, where in case of Intel, only Intel, as far as I know, produces Intel CPUs, right? And you cannot just buy design, you have to buy CPU. And of course that costs much more. Why is this interesting? Because with the evolution of the CPUs, what we are finding is what even for server CPUs, the power efficiency becomes limiting factor, right? We now can pack so many transistors in a silicon, right? To the point what we just cannot cool it enough for that to operate at the peak performance. And because of that, all the server CPUs have to be very careful and operating at this, thermal budget, if you will. And that is where ARM skills of making sure they are able to build the CPUs which don't run as hot, really transform in them being able to become good at building server CPUs as well. There are some market developments which happen in this place, which were also quite interesting. Back in 2015, Amazon acquired a company, Annapurna Labs, which specialized at building server grade ARM chips. And that is which brought us Graviton and Graviton 2 CPUs, which are ARM-based CPUs, which are now available at Amazon Cloud. And which is obviously a very good deal for Amazon because it costs a fraction of what it has to pay for Intel CPUs. And so they are really very interested in promoting this solution. And Amazon in this case is not alone, right? While we may not hear a lot of this in Europe or US, very ARM is also pretty big in China with Huawei investment and some other companies as well. And I think for China, that is also in particularly important because that allows them to reduce dependence on their American chips, right? And especially with Huawei and all those kind of tensions between Huawei and US, the kind of decoupling for server market from Intel or AMD, both US companies, was quite quite important for them. Right. They have been investing a lot and building a lot of stuff. Finally, you can see most recently Apple, who had been really building very powerful ARM-based CPUs for mobile devices and for tablets, now brought M1 ARM CPU to desktop as well. It has shown with the modern laptops and even desktop devices, their AMD can produce better performance and better price performance compared to Intel. And I think that is really been creating a lot of interest to their AMD. I know at Percona, we have been getting a lot more requests for AMD build, not particularly for server deployment, but at least for development deployments at M1. Okay. With that, let's see some benchmarks. What you can see here are the benchmarks we have done on mid-size instance sizes with 48 and 64 vCPUs. What you can see from these numbers is what actually the performance results are rather compatible between all the CPUs. You can see especially the high number of concurrency of the last generation Intel is the fastest, but AMD and Graviton are not that that far away. And what you have to be mindful here is what with Amazon pricing, ARM is about 20% less expensive than Intel, and AMD is 10% less expensive. And I think if you are thinking about margin, right, because of both the CPU production cost and power costs, I would expect what Amazon gets a much better deal than it sells you ARM compared to AMD or Intel, right? And that is just the price what we discussed is enough to drive ARM adoption at this point. Now at PureCon, we also recently did benchmarks on GCP. In this case, between Intel Xeon and AMD EPYC. And here are results. What you can see here, which is quite interesting, is what if you look at the second generation of those nodes, N2, right, you can see what Intel, which is N2, is substantially faster than AMD, which is N2D. Right? But if you look at N1, the previous generation of Intel, it is, of course, substantially slower than what AMD used to have. So again, the numbers are quite comparable. So as a summary, what we can see is what the Intel is still dominated player on the market and still can offer a very good performance if the raw performance is what you care about. But both AMD and ARM can be feasible alternatives for MySQL, and especially if you're looking at the price performance for some workloads, they may offer you a better value. And what really excites me is we have a competition which will surely push innovation and drive down the costs, as it always does. With that, that's all I have, and enjoy the rest of the conference. Thank you.